In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is appropriate, brothers and sisters, that on this day when we celebrate the Holy Fathers of the First Ecumenical Council, it has just followed Ascension. Because our Lord's prayer here, we see the fulfillment of it in the Ascension. And we see the empowerment of us to be able to fulfill it in Pentecost, which is only next week. These things are all very much related. The Lord said that the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son might glorify thee. And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I've spoken about this many times. This is what salvation is. This is what eternal life is. To know God. And to know God is to know Jesus Christ, who lived on the earth and showed us the way to live. And not only showed us the way to live, but made us capable of living that way of life. And then he says that he just has said, glorify thy Son. His Son would be glorified in only a few more days. This was just before his crucifixion. So, a few days add to that, plus 40 days for for Ascension. And at that time, the Son of God would arise in the heavens as a man, showing that we could indeed be with God also. So this prayer was fulfilled on Ascension. And also, his prayer for us is enabled, empowered, especially by Pentecost, which is coming on in a week. We have a discussion list where right now we're talking about what is eternal life, or actually, what is heaven like? Well, heaven is the state of eternal life. And eternal life is to know Jesus Christ. And later on, the Lord defines further, if you listen carefully, how we obtain this eternal life and in what this eternal life consists. He says, Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are. I find it fascinating in popular culture, in traditions of just about any society you can find, there is a value placed to unity. We speak about teamwork being essential. We talk about that if a person is, we value a person who gets along with others, works well with others. Various religions speak about unity in a way that is not Christian, but they value unity. Why are there all these echoes in every part of our society of unity present? Because they are sort of a reflection of the reality that salvation is unity with one another and with God. God is united with himself. The mystery of the Holy Trinity is the mystery of a community in union with one another. Three persons in perfect harmony and perfect love and submission to one another. This is why the Lord speaks so often of our relationship with one another. Time and time again, he tells us of how we should relate to one another. St. John amplifies this in his epistle when he says, if we do not love our fellow man whom we have seen, how can we love God whom we have not seen? So salvation is unity with one another. Now, this is a difficult thing to understand sometimes because there's an awful lot of people that don't really agree with us and don't really want to be around us, don't like us, mistreat us even. And the prophet says, I am for peace, but they are for war. It only takes one person to make war. It takes two people to make peace. But the unity that the Lord is speaking of is not some sort of organizational unity or some sort of peace that is where people are not fighting with one another or are agreeing with one another. The unity that he speaks of is that we recognize in ourselves and in each other that we are made in the image of God. And therefore, everybody is you. Everybody is me. And everybody is Christ. If we treat one another as the Lord treats himself, because remember, the Lord is a community of persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If we treat each other as he treats himself, this is the unity that the Lord is speaking of here. Of course, we cannot be one with those that do not believe as we believe. We cannot be one with those who wish to hurt us or kill us. We cannot be one with those who have different values and priorities in terms of agreeing with the same things, belonging to the same organizations, going to the same churches, all those sorts of things. That's not the unity that's spoken of. The world thinks of it in both times in terms of that unity. And you see, when people call for unity, it's usually conformity to a certain small set of principles and letting everything else just be completely optional. And that's not Christian unity. Christian unity is to love everyone as yourself, to love everyone as God loves them, to feel truly that you are linked to one another. Not in any kind of mystical Eastern kind of way. It's not as if I can sit in a room and think thoughts of peace, and somebody in India can do it too, and somebody in Canada can do it too, and then the world becomes more peaceful. That's just really stupid. And some people believe that. We're not talking about that connectedness. We're talking about that when I look at any one of you, I see me. I see a person who's good and bad. See a person who has strengths and weaknesses. See a person who needs Christ. And it's exactly me. So therefore, if I am to live as a Christian, I'll treat you just as I would treat me. See, there's a depth to this so-called golden rule that most people don't understand. We do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Because the Lord is one. And we are to be one as He is. If we are to reach our destiny, we must be one with one another. And the way you're one with one another, well, you can speak of it in high theological terms. But really, where you become one with one another is in the trenches and in the dirt. By being kind to someone who's not kind to you. By not speaking back to someone who's being a jerk. By not backbiting someone. By doing things that you don't want to do for people that aren't going to even appreciate it. By just doing the right thing because it's right. Because God did it. That's being one with one another. And this is what Christ prays for, that they may be one even as we are. And this is the unity we strive for. I've wanted to, for some time, contribute to this discussion we're having about heaven. There's been some very good things said about it. In fact, some things that I would have said myself, and they were said well. Eternal life is embodied in this prayer the Lord has for us. Heaven is not a place. It's a state. Heaven is a condition. The Lord says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto this and that. It's all about our moral way of life. Recently speaking to somebody, and I said, it's all about morality. It's always about morality. Everything we do, everything we say, everything that's important is about morality. And the Lord here is speaking of morality. Because if you're one with people, then you treat them with love and kindness and without judgment, no matter what they do or what they say. That's how the Lord treated us. And we saw that the Lord recognized when things were right and wrong. It wasn't that He was a milquetoast and didn't tell people that they were sinning. But He loved them as much as He loved His disciples and His mother. Because He was one with them. Because as a man, He felt the unity with mankind. So we must be one with one another as He is one with us. And if we can be one with one another, then we will be one with God. And we will know God. This is eternal life. This is heaven. When the soul is changed so that it is all light. When there is no hatred. When there is no ill feelings towards others. When there is no greed. When there is no shame. When we are just light with one another. It's a difficult concept to understand. We can't understand how to be one with those who are not one with us in the way they behave and what they say and what they do until we live as Christ lived. Here He was, the only sinless one. Everyone around Him sinning. And He was one with them. If He can do it, so can we. In fact, we must do it. Because it is salvation. We must be one with one another to be one with God. So, what is heaven? Heaven is to be the moral man. Heaven is to be good. Heaven is to be like Christ. Heaven is to be one with one another and one with God. And if we don't understand what heaven is, then we must live in such a way that we will begin to understand. Because He said, this is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. The only way you can know something is to live it. And this is what we must do if we are Christians. Amen.
This homily was given by Priest Seraphim Holland at the St. Nicholas Russian Orthodox Church in the Dallas, Texas area. All rights are reserved. All of our homilies, both text and audio, are archived on our website. We also have an RSS feed of audio homilies and a blog called Redeeming the Time, in which we post original material on the Scriptures, Lives of the Saints, and Pastoral Reflections. All these things may be found with links on the front page of our church's website, in addition to many other spiritual materials. The URL is http://www.orthodox.net. That's orthodox.net. Again, the URL is http://www.orthodox.net. May God bless you and help you in all things.